The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It's approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday, the 11th of October, 2023. I do hope you're very well indeed. I spent much of the news trying to select motorbikes, buses, crosswalks, traffic lights, whilst the camera was on me, looking intensely at them. So that's a wee treat for you. But anyway, we are hopefully logged into everything. I believe we are now. And the lines are open for you. Caroline's logged into work, as always. 07491 25000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call, get involved in the conversation. What's your reaction to the budget yesterday? Are you happy with it? Does it not go far enough for you? What are your views? WhatsApps and text to 086 60 25000. Of course, as you would expect, we're going to have reaction to the budget and much more besides coming up on the programme. Comments come in to us, of course, comments at highlandradio.com. So no excuse not to be involved in the programme. Let's look at the newspapers this morning. Finn Valley Voice, social housing, we need to be doing more and more in Donegal. A special meeting between local councillors and officials of DCC on Donegal's housing crisis takes place today in Lifford. The issues are being exacerbated by the defective block crisis and a supply shortage, but the slow pace of social housing development is the greatest concern, says one local councillor. Councillor Donald Coyle, former primary school principal in Convoy, referred to the timeline of a 34-unit housing development first agreed on in September 2019, but not now expected to start until 2024. Let's go now to the Donegal Post. €62,700 raised in phenomenal effort by Drimarone community. The spirit of community and of looking after and supporting each other is certainly alive and well in Drimarone. This year's Dublin to Drimarone cycle raised €62,700, an incredible achievement for a small rural community. And with the launch of charity single The Shortest Road to Drimarone by Folksy Jerry and friends, even more money will be raised. And I heard Folksy Jerry and the crew on with I think it was Paul and Jimmy on Monday Night Sessions, and great song, actually. Brilliant tune. The Inish Times this morning. Donegal County Council has lodged a planning application for what is described as a transformational tourism project at Fort Dunree. Plans for the €12.5 million project, which was first announced in June 2021, have been submitted under Part 8 planning, which means the application will come before members of the local or local authority for approval. On to the Nationals now, and of course, plenty of fallout from yesterday's budget announcements. The government yesterday unveiled a huge spend and save budget that boosted permanent spending and promised large cash giveaways in the coming months, but also channeled billions in windfall tax revenues into long-term national savings and investment funds. That's the view of the Irish Times. With a general election due within 18 months, budget ministers Pascal Donoghue and Michael McGrath responded to intense political pressure to increase spending on both permanent allocations and one-off giveaways. The result was a package that will see households gain from tax cuts, spending increases, welfare boosts, including a double payment of child benefit, childcare subsidies, energy credits, and for some, mortgage relief. But the huge resources at their disposal also enabled Mr. McGrath and Mr. Donoghue to unveil a far-reaching plan to be enshrined in legislation, which will see billions of euro in windfall corporation tax revenue saved for when they were needed in the future, ordinarily known as a rainy day fund. On to the Irish Daily Mail now, and of course, one of the significant focuses of the public is health. And health officials have been reacting to this newspaper about yesterday's budget. Senior figures in the Department of Health are said to be pretty furious about their allocation in the budget, the Irish Daily Mail can reveal. A comparison of this year's budget with last year's shows a decline in funding for the high-spending department. Part of this is accounted for by the decision to reallocate disability funding from the Department of Health to the Department of Children, resulting in a €2.6 billion reduction in the overall health spend. However, even allowing for this, senior sources say only €1.8 billion was then allocated in additional funding for the department, with Coughlin. He's been accused by Fine Gael of misogyny over comments he made to Minister of State Jennifer Carol McNeill on a live RTE budget programme. The pair clashed moments before Finance Minister Michael McGrath rose to deliver his budget speech in the Dáil. It came after Ms. Carol McNeill said tax changes in the budget were progressive, adding, "I can show you all of the figures, Padraig, if you need me to walk you through it." Mr. McLaughlin responded, "I'm sure that Piers Doherty will look forward to meeting you after the budget. I'm sure he'll look forward to putting manners on you in terms of." A stunned Ms. Carol McNeill interrupted, asking, "Excuse me, what does that mean?" The Donegal TD replied, "It's just the arrogance of the Fine Gael party to say they've stood up for people on the lower incomes, people who have struggled." Now, a Fine Gael spokesperson says that the language was menacing and misogynistic. Now, I don't, personally for me, I don't think this does strong, powerful women such as the one he was speaking with any favours, because I don't think, and I don't know exactly what the requirement for misogyny is, but I don't think that there was a gender slant on those comments at all, personally speaking. And as I say, I love a good controversy, as good as anyone, but I really don't think, particularly the strong, powerful women that we have in this country, both in media, in politics, in analysis and in presentation, them simply being challenged for it to be described as misogynistic when there's no sort of gender angle to the language, I don't think that does anyone any favours. But anyway, what do I know? The Irish Independent, Gardaí investigating the murder of Tina Satchwell, are conducting a search of a property, including underneath all floors, following new developments in the case. More than 6 years after the Yohill woman's disappearance, a man who was known to Ms. Satchwell, was arrested on suspicion of her murder yesterday. Ms. Satchwell disappeared from her home on March 20th, 2017, Gardaí arrested the man, who's aged in his 50s, at a property in East Cork minutes before confirming that they're now treating Ms. Satchwell's disappearance as a murder investigation. A big news story in Cork, across the country as well, of course, but certainly to those in and around the Cork area weren't expecting that type of a development. The Irish Daily Star this morning: Israel launched a devastating air blitz on Gaza yesterday as the war escalated, leaving hundreds of people killed on both sides. Hamas immediately retaliated by firing rockets into the Israeli border town of Ashkelon. Reports started to emerge last night that up to 40 babies and children were killed by Hamas militants on Saturday, some of them allegedly, well, it's so shocking, I just won't read it in case there are young people in the car. Palestine said 850 people had been killed, including 140 of their children and 100 women in Israel. And 100 women. And Israel said at least 1,000 had been killed among its citizens. The killing of children was reported to the media by Israeli soldiers who say they found the horrific scenes. And it's just devastation over there at the moment in that Middle Eastern crisis. Just as a follow-up yesterday, we were speaking to the political editor of the Daily Mirror. They say they were speaking to Micheál Martin today about vaping. So just to read out a couple of quotes from him. Tánaiste Micheál Martin has vowed to crack down on the sale of vapes to children, saying this is the tobacco industry's revenge. The Fianna Fáil leader supported the Irish Mirror's expose on Ireland's child vaping crisis. The paper revealed how a schoolboy easily bought 4 vapes in 1 hour. There's no law on stopping that. The legal sale of these products has led to a vaping epidemic among adolescents hooked on highly addictive nicotine. Mr. Martin, who was health minister, led the war on smoking by banning it indoors, pledged to ensure new laws outlawing the sale of nicotine to children to come in soon. And lastly, in the world of showbiz, some of you might be interested. I don't think as many people are interested in this as the papers would have you believe, because this morning is a British TV show, of course, but its viewership has been sliding all the while. But it has always received a disproportionate amount of publicity in the newspapers. Holly Willoughby has quit the programme after spending the weekend tearfully discussing the decision with her family, we're told. The telly favourite, 42, is understood to have been secretly considering the move for weeks in the wake of a hostile social media backlash. I don't think she ever really recovered from jumping the queue. Her shock departure is hugely worrying for This Morning, which is still awaiting the results of an investigation into the show amid claims of toxicity on the set. But as I say, viewership has been dwindling, and perhaps it's probably going to be used as a good time to scrap it all together. Stick on a couple of episodes of Tipping Point or something, you'll probably end up with more viewers in any case. And we're going to be getting some government response to yesterday's budget. But first, Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, Deputy Piers Doherty, joins us. Good morning, Piers. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Jim.
Okay, the signal's not fantastic, but we shall make do with it as we can. You're not overly enthusiastic about this budget, a squandered opportunity, you've described it as.
Yeah, look, I think, people will see the announcements in the budget. Obviously, a big budget, 14 billion euro, and there's much there that people will welcome in terms of one-off payments and some changes to core payments. And we argued for a lot of those payments, so we welcome that. We forced government into territory that they didn't want to go into. They argued black and blue against mortgage relief. They've now done it. They argued for years against relief for renters. They've now done it. We're the ones who put the issue of childcare on the political agenda when we made the commitment to cut it by two-thirds. They're starting to cut it somewhat, but having to wait till September is not acceptable. We should have been cutting this January next year, and the reduction should be 55%. But really the big issue here, Greg, is that the government, despite the money that they had, despite the surpluses that we have, which are now in the billions of euro, that they've decided to put no additional money into the issue of health. So no additional beds at all, no additional changes in relation to the issue of kind of diagnostics of new medicines. Like every year new medicines come on stream to treat, cancer patients and other patients. There's no money for that anymore. So if there is new medications next year, we will not have the money to buy those new medicines. And the chatter around Leinster House, everybody knows this from all the different political parties, is health got royally shafted in this budget. Not only is it a case that it stands still, which means it's the same as last year, it's actually worse than that. It's likely that the health services is going to go back next year because the amount of money that they give to standstill. So standstill money, Greg, is like there's about 708 million euro that the government allocated additional to health, but that's what's called standstill money. It's just basically the prices of everything have gone up in the hospitals or the services. You know, it's cost more to do the laundry in the hospital, it's cost more for energy in the hospital. So just you need to give that 708 million euro to standstill. That's less than they gave last year. And the department and the HSE says it's about a quarter of a billion less than actually is what's needed. So there is a serious problem.
But just in relation to that, and the argument made of the additional 31 million, I think, for LUH was sort of standstill money. But is it not really about, delivery rather than chucking money at the problem? I'm not sure how many of the public members of the public would want to see more money pumped into health when we see what feels like money being squandered in how it's administered, because more and more is going into it. We hear of loads and loads of extra people being employed, but people aren't feeling it on the ground. They're feeling health going backwards. So is the administration of whatever is there not more important than seeking to spend more money after bad?
It's not just that they're feeling that health is going backwards. Health is going backwards. There's 60,000 more people now in hospital waiting lists than when this government took office 3 years ago. The figure is over 800,000 people. There's a quarter of people waiting for diagnostic scans. There's people with mental health that are waiting for months, and indeed some people for years, for their first appointment with a consultant. So health is going backwards. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And Greg, when you have health in a state of crisis, what happens is it becomes very, very costly to run. So when you've got a state of crisis where you don't have the staff, you don't have the doctors, you're hiring in locums consultants, which are 2-3 times more costly than if you had a permanent staff, or if you're hiring in agency nurses, and that's one of the big drivers in relation to the overspend. But look, everybody knows, apart from the government, that we need additional capacity. And what does additional capacity mean in health? It means we need additional beds in health. The ESRI took out a report just a couple of weeks ago, saying we need 1,000 additional beds now, and we in our health service right now, and we need then about 300 to 400 beds every single year. So what has the government done in this budget? 14 billion euro of a budget, 8 billion euro of surpluses after that. They haven't provided a single cent to provide an additional bed in any of our hospitals, in any of our community settings, in any of our nursing homes right across the state. And that to me is unforgivable. And why is it unforgivable? Because there's people that are going to come to my constituency office, as has happened, people who are really, really sick, some of them, you know, who have got cancer, some of them who are over 80 years of age, mothers and daughters talking to me and telling me that their parents or their loved one was sitting in a chair or in a trolley in a corridor in Letterkenny University Hospital for hours upon hours after being admitted, but they can't get into the hospital. Why? Because there's not enough beds. And the reason that that all happens is because you decide, a government decides not to provide the additional resources. So, like, it's not just, it's worse than that, Greg. The Minister for Health announced on three occasions this year 1,500 rapid build beds in our hospital. Three different announcements he made this year. Not a single penny has been provided to deliver any of those beds. So health is like going to be a massive, massive disaster. We know for many, many people, and I'm sure you covered the issue of the GP's letters and the GPs raising their voices in relation to what's happened. It is unacceptable that we have the lack of investment that is happening in health. And as I said, if you don't provide the extra beds, if you don't provide a pathway where nurses and doctors and other clinicians and support staff can actually operate and do what they're trained in a proper professional manner, then you operate at a point of crisis, and that is really, really expensive. So, like, it's really, really depressing today when you actually look at what's happening in the health care system and what the government did in all consciousness.
And just briefly, because I know you've other commitments here, you're not content with what they've done on housing either.
Well, look, this is another example. Like, the government have rolled the dice here. The government have rolled the dice, and they've done as Sinn Féin have been arguing, which is to deal with one-off payments in terms of the cost of living. Now, we could argue some of those payments. We would argue that social welfare payments should increase by 15 euro, not 12, disability up to 20, that child benefits should have been increased. And so there's differences there. But the main difference here is that they've actually made a gamble. Let's not do anything extra on health or on housing. And I think also that that's unforgivable. And I think they've got it wrong. I really think that they have misread the public opinion. I think that people, yes, will welcome an extra 5 or 10 in their pocket. But I think that people right across the state, whether you're connected to them or not, are absolutely appalled at the idea that 4,000 children woke up today in emergency accommodation. I think any parent, any father, any mother knows that's an unacceptable situation, no matter what circumstances we live in. But at a time when the finance minister and the government are backslapping themselves, giving themselves standing ovations and talking about billions upon billions of euro of surplus, yet we have 4,000 children waking up in emergency accommodation, where we have young people, and it's happening
so
all
you wouldn't
over.
Have just finally you would not have saved for the future. You would have used that money now.
Of course we'd save for the future. Our programme gave hope to those young people who are deciding to go to Canada and Australia. Our programme would have reduced the costs of housing and rent. But what we would have done, our programme could be delivered with a surplus of 8 billion euro. So there would still be a surplus, but we would have invested 1.7 billion euro extra into housing, building an additional 7,000 social affordable and cost rental homes, given the type of scale of the crisis that we have in this country. So there was a way of doing this. There was a way of injecting an extra 1.3 billion euro into health, another 1,800 beds that would be started to be delivered next year, right through the next 3 years. That's the type of vision, that's the type of determination, that's the type of team that we have, and the passion that we have to actually make the change in these two areas.
Right.
There is only one conclusion, Greg, I can draw after listening to what the government did in housing and in health, and that is they have thrown in the towel, because it is a government that's out of touch, that is out of ideas, and that is out of time.
All right, well, we'll hear from that government a little later. For now, thank you very much indeed, Deputy Piers Doherty. And as I say, we'll have government reps on to have their say on that issue in the same fashion as well. Crona Clohessy is from Dunloe, of course, and tax lead with Chartered Accountants Ireland. Good morning, Crona. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning.
Is it easy to determine, Crona, how people will benefit from this budget? Because, of course, there are, say, for instance, those on a pension or on social welfare that on the face of it, you know, there's a 12 euro increase. But the government will argue then there are other measures as part of an overall package that should see people, including credits for electricity and what have you, that should see people much better off through the winter and into next year and into 2024. This is budget 2024, of course. What's your overview of that, Crona?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think with any budget, there's always going to be winners and losers. I think this budget, you know, the main priority for the government was to tackle the cost of living, which has, I suppose, plagued us for the last 12 months. Last year, there was a 4 billion package announced. This year, it was much smaller. But I think what the government tried to do was give a little bit to everyone. So, you know, as you say, from social welfare recipients to pensioners, they're all going to get 12 euro more in their pockets in terms of their weekly payments. And workers, I suppose, as well, they're going to save around 400 euro a year in income taxes, another, you know, 200 to 300 euro on USC, depending on your level of pay. So, you know, I suppose for the typical worker, the average industrial wage is in around, you know, 40,000-45,000. So that worker is going to save around 767 a year. But I, as you alluded to, it's not just the, you know, headline tax cuts or the increased in the welfare payments. There's also a cost of living package in there, which, you know, we're in a very high inflationary environment at the moment. So I think those other measures, you know, like the free school books, the increase in the childcare subsidies, the energy credit, as you alluded to, which will be 450 euro from now until April. These are all other measures that will soften the blow. You know, and there were other, you know, tax credits that, you know, maybe don't get as much headline in the news. You know, a single person with a child got an increase in their tax credit of 100 euro. For incapacitated children, there was another 200 euro.
So what does that mean just for people? So if you get an increase of 100 euro in your tax credit, does that mean you have 100 euro over the course of a tax year, you're 100 euro better off, or 200? Just so, because the language sometimes, I want to make sure we all get that. Okay, sorry to interrupt you, Crona.
We're all entitled to tax-free credits. And what they work out as is they basically take your gross pay, whatever your pay is. So if you're paid, you know, 30,000 a year, you pay tax at 20%. So you pay 20% off 30,000, which is 6,000. But then you're allowed to take away tax credits. So at the moment, tax credits stand at 1875, and you get two of them. So what that means is you're effectively taking about 3,700 euro off your tax liabilities. Your tax liability is down now to 2,300. So yeah, essentially, if it's 100 euro credit, it's 100 euro back in your pocket, but over the spread of 1 year. So I think people forget that in a way as well for welfare payments like the state pension, and they're all taxable benefits, and a child benefit isn't. But you know, the state pension, the job seekers allowance, jobs. So all these tax credits help then in terms of reducing any tax liability that anybody might have.
Okay, you're going to stay with us, Crona. We're going to dig into that a little bit further. Fianna Fáil's Thomas Byrne, Minister of State for Sport and Physical Education, joins us. Good morning to you, Minister. Thanks for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Good morning.
It just happens in terms of availability. We heard at the start of the show from Deputy Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson. He says the budget was a squandered opportunity, critical of the government for no extra money in health, for an example, and no money for new medicines for next year, no new money to create any spare capacity in terms of beds, diagnostics, etc. Do you accept that criticism, Thomas?
No, I mean, there's been massive progress made in health over the last number of years, and this year the spend on health will be 22.5 billion euro. So the issue in health isn't lack of money. The issue is to make that money work as well as possible. There's been huge improvements in waiting lists over the last number of years. We have got more medicines out to people. And there has, you know, I mean, the results are clear in our health service. I mean, if you look at our pandemic response, if you look at the age people live to in Ireland is much higher than many other countries. And that's partly because of our health service. Mm. But that's not to say there aren't challenges. Of course, there are challenges. We've got to make sure that we rise above those challenges. But COVID is a large part of that that's coming true. But there is a huge amount of money being spent on the health service.
There is going to come a point, though, where we can't keep blaming COVID. Like, you know, we have a serious crisis here at the ED in Letterkenny, where we have 78 GPs across Donegal writing a letter calling for external intervention, such is the situation. We can't blame that on COVID, Thomas. People want to see, not necessarily more money, but that money being spent better, which I think you alluded to yourself.
Yeah, yeah. We've definitely got to do more with what we have, because what we have is absolutely huge, and it's a record amount of money that we're spending on the health service. And by and large, when people get into our health service, they have a very good experience of the health service. That's a fact. Everybody says that. And yes, there are issues at emergency departments in different places and they arise at different times. But by and large, when you get into the Irish health service, it's very, very good in terms of treatment, in terms of outcome. And it's far better than the NHS, particularly in Northern Ireland. The Sinn Féin have said they want to apply to this to the 26 counties. That's wrong. That's not what we want.
I think you all signed up to Sláinte Care, did you not?
We have signed up to Sláinte Care, but I have not signed up to a Northern Ireland NHS or a UK NHS. Absolutely no way. Sláinte Care is about free, making sure the healthcare is fair, is free, is equitable.
I think that's backed by all parties, though, is what I'm saying, Thomas.
Sláinte Care is, but an Irish NHS isn't backed by me or my party. No, that's not what we want, because there's huge inefficiencies in that, and that's what Sinn Féin... It's a slogan, really. I don't think there's any substance behind what they say about an Irish NHS.
One of the biggest crises for businesses and for the public in this country is childcare. People talk about housing, but you speak to people locally here. A lot of employers can't hire because, you know, people can't get affordable childcare to get out of the house and work. And we saw hundreds of people marching all over the country and on Dublin very recently on this issue. And all that was there for them was the promise of what some are describing as a measly payment to childcare providers. And not now, next year, next September. Was that at least a missed opportunity?
Well, I would say that the Department of Children, which deals with childcare and it deals with other issues too, it's like the fourth biggest spend of the entire government. And I wouldn't say that it's measly, or I wouldn't say that we've done nothing on childcare. There's been a massive change in how childcare is funded in this country. And we had a 25% reduction. We will be getting another 25% reduction. And that takes a lot of money. And that's in a huge investment that's been put in terms of this budget, and has already happened under this government. So I would say that we have made huge progress in childcare. Of course, we want to do more. But for families who are availing of childcare through the various schemes, etc., that there has been a really noticeable difference, and they will say that yes, they would like more. Of course, we all would like more, but there's been a really, really noticeable difference for people who need to avail of childcare.
Nothing new for almost a year, Thomas.
Sorry, excuse me?
Nothing new for almost a year. Any further reductions aren't coming in until next September.
Well, we've already had a significant reduction under this government, which nobody predicted and no one thought would happen, but it is clearly a priority. It's a huge priority for me. And we have to do what we have with the money. And when the budget has been allocated, it rarely comes in straight away, except for a small number of measures. And in many cases comes in especially for example, famously with education, the measures will never usually come in until the September. And that's the case with this. And it's trying to do what we can with the money that's there in the fairest way possible. And I think that's what the government has tried to do in this particular instance.
Yeah, I recognise that the want to put money into people's pockets, but I mean, €12 for pensioners, €12 for those on social welfare, even overnight, that's been dug into by carbon tax increases. And then, of course, to inflation, people sort of almost describe it as if things are getting cheaper, but they aren't. They're just getting more expensive at a slower pace. Is there enough there for those people?
Well, yes. I mean, and it's, you know, the €12 that you mentioned is one part of it, but we have the electricity credits, which will come in €150 electricity credits. There's a €300 lump sum for recipients of the fuel allowance. Don't forget, everybody, and I think people should list, everybody in the fuel allowance is entitled to apply for retrofitting of their home, and they should do that. And we want to see more money into that. There's a €200 lump sum for those on the living alone allowance. Children with families with child benefit will get a double month. Working family payment, those recipients get €400 of a lump sum. People who get a qualified child increment are getting €100 lump sum. There's a double week, of course, at Christmas, as is normal, but we still have to pay for that. And I think that's a very significant cost of living measure. Free school books for those in junior cycle. We're bringing in 900 schools now that have free school meals next September. That's really significant and will save families a huge amount of money. We're maintaining the reduction in school transport charges again, which is a world away. And yes, we have issues with school transport, but the cost of it has massively reduced over the last number of years. And we're a world away from where we were just a few years ago. So there's a huge amount to be done. The other issue as well, again, which I don't think has got that much media attention now, is the €1,000 reduction for university and college fees, plus another €500 if your family income is below €100,000. So there's a huge amount of items being done in relation to the cost of living crisis. The government acknowledges that and is dealing with it as we speak.
Would you like to have seen it personally more targeted? A lot of the payments that you're talking of are universal. You know, with 180,000 children in poverty in this country, would it not have been better to have a more targeted approach that would have maybe levelled the playing field somewhat?
Well, on the children's allowance, I mean, that's an age-old debate, but I mean, the general view is that it's better being universal. But there is targeted payments for the qualified child increment, the food allowance. Food allowance essentially goes to the poorest households in our society, so they're being targeted. People who are living alone, again, are being targeted. The hot school meals will be done out to schools on the basis of the poverty thresholds in the area and the census figures. They're targeted. And we've already expanded that in the last number of years. And again, it's targeted. So there's a huge amount of targeted payments. But people in the middle are also paying significantly higher fuel prices. Therefore, I think it is right that everybody gets the electricity credit, and that includes those in social welfare, but it also includes those who are working too.
All right, OK. Quick word from you, if you don't mind, Thomas. Yesterday it was announced that we will co-host Euro 2028. How significant is that?
Oh, it's really significant from many, many perspectives. We're hosting a major international tournament, probably the third biggest sporting event in the world after the Olympics and the World Cup. So it's really, really important for many reasons. There'll be about six games in the Aviva, but also in Casement Park as well. And that's really significant because I've been on maybe this show and others over the last number of years when I was Europe Minister, lamenting the lack of cooperation between Britain and Ireland, within Northern Ireland, between North and South, all of that. This brings us all together. Politics is out of it. It's football. And I think we're looking forward to a really enjoyable event. And, you know, for people in Donegal and in your radio area and in Derry, it'll be relatively easy to get to matches in Belfast. And you could have some of the biggest teams in Europe playing in Belfast for a number of games. And that's going to be really, really good. I think we can all look forward to that. And it will bring people together.
Good stuff. Well, Warren, you will know Finn Harps are developing a ground here. We really need it. We deserve it. You know, dig a bit deep there for Thomas. Go and get out the ledger there and see if you can get a few more quid up there for them, can you?
Well, we announced a very significant grant a few months ago. And essentially, that's like the same, I suppose, a bank issuing an offer letter. The recipients, which is the FAI and Finn Harps, then have to just tie up all the loose ends and cross the T's and dot the I's. And essentially, that's what's going on at the moment. But the money is there. And the money is available once that's done. So I'm committed to that. I'm committed to the League of Ireland. My father was a player manager at Drogheda United. I regularly attend League of Ireland games. It's really important that we have good League of Ireland facilities in all parts of the country. And that will help increase what is already increasing over the last number of years in terms of the support that's there for League of Ireland football. And I hope that the Euros will have a knock-on effect on that as well. But look, I acknowledge we have to do the work. But in the case of Finn Harps, at least I can say the money is allocated and we're ready to pay that out once those loose ends are tied up by the recipients.
All right, take care of yourself. Thanks very much indeed. I do appreciate your time this morning. That is Thomas Byrne, Minister of State for Sports and Physical Education. We have a very, very quick break to take. Stay with us because we're going to be looking with Crona a little bit more deeper as to how you might have benefited from yesterday's budget after these. Okay, Crona Clohessy is with us, tax lead with Chartered Accountants Ireland. And just a word from you, Crona. A lot of people in the messages are coming in are struggling to sort of find out how this benefits them or how they can make sure. Like, for one example, I have to pay child college fees of €15,000 before Christmas, wondering how much I pay now with the reductions. Now, I'm not expecting you to answer that unless you have that answer there. But it can be a little bit like that. You know what I mean? Is there more money back in my pocket? Where's it coming from? And how do I make sure I can get my hands on it?
Yeah, look, I suppose that the speech yesterday, you know, it's all very high level. All the details are going to come out over the next few days. And don't forget, we have all the legislation to back up all this coming out next week. So, look, I think on the university fees, announcement was to reduce the registration fee to €1,000. So again, we're not sure when that's going to come in, and we need to actually hear an announcement from government. And all the other welfare payments and reductions will take effect. Most of them, the €12 a week, will be from January next year. But there are some other immediate ones. So the 450 electricity credits, some of that will be paid before Christmas. The fuel allowance, the living alone allowance, and the double child benefit month, they'll be paid before Christmas as well. So we do know that. There are the €400 working family payment, which Thomas alluded to, and that will also be paid before Christmas, as will the €400 lump sum. So there's a lump sum coming to certain welfare categories. It's people with disability allowance, blind pension, there's other kind of categories of welfare in there. But look, I suppose just to repeat, the bulk of the payments will be, the €12 increase will be from next year. The tax impacts, the reduction in USC, the reduction in income tax, that will all be from next year as well. The childcare subsidy, which it is unfortunate, that's not until September 2024. So for children in, say, their last year of play school this year, they're not going to benefit because they'll be going to school next year. And I suppose just on the point that Thomas was raising about childcare, like, look, we recognise that there's a lot of funding going into that sector, but this is one area that is really close to our members' hearts, our members being accountants, working in Donegal, working all over the country. And the biggest problem that they find with childcare is not necessarily the cost, it's the capacity, that there are just no places for them to put their children. So we're calling on government to actually have a long-term strategy around childcare. I think it's so, so important in terms of infrastructure, in terms of, you know, we need to, you know, working parents, there are lots and lots of people leaving the workforce because they don't have adequate childcare. So, and in an era where we are, every business is crying out for staff, that needs to be...
But presumably that capacity reduces as people exit it because there's no money in it for them. Presumably that capacity shrinks even further as providers exit.
Absolutely. All we're hearing from providers at the cost, you know, they're all impacted by the cost of living. There's a huge issue in terms of the wages that are being paid to staff in that sector. And we know the core funding is all dependent on a minimum wage, you know, a minimum salary. But we know that there's a huge high staff turnover. There are regulations in terms of how many staff you have to have per child. So there's so many factors to this that I think need to be addressed. And, you know, the children, they're our future. So I think an investment in children is so, so key for, you know, for the years ahead.
Okay, so what would you give the budget out of 10?
Maybe around a 7. I think, you know, look, I think the government have done a job in terms of trying to put monies back into people's pockets. I think families have probably come out the best. You know, look, we're not going to put through the package again, but there were a number of things in the school and university sector. Housing is always going to be the issue, I think, of the day. It is a national crisis, there's no doubt about it. But I think the measures, and, you know, I mean, I know landlords, they don't get a popular, I suppose, vote. But if you think about it, a lot of areas, like Donegal included, outside of Dublin, outside the big cities, they rely on small private landlords to provide accommodation. So I think any sort of tax break for landlords in that sector was really, really welcome. I think that will...
But what is it, about 50 quid a month? It's a benefit. No, I mean, that's, you know, and then you have to stay, commit for 4 odd years.
Yeah.
But can you stay with me for a few minutes, Crona? Are you okay, or do I need to let you go?
Absolutely.
Okay, stay you are, because Neil Richmond is Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise. And I suppose from your, Neil Richmond, good morning to you. And I suppose from your perspective with interest on business, does seem to be a focus on, you know, Indigenous small to medium-sized businesses in this country, in this budget.
Certainly there's a big focus, particularly on SMEs and micro enterprises, and one of the main flagship items that my senior minister Simon Coveney has been able to deliver is €250 million of a rates grant that will be paid in the first quarter of the year to any rates payer, any commercial rates payer across the which is 8 commercial rates payers who pay less than €20,000 of commercial rates. This is a cash injection for a lot of businesses who've seen costs go up. It's a direct response to requests from business. And this is something that's going to be straightforward. It's not going to require form filling. It's going to be administered by the rates offices in each local authority, be it Donegal, Sligo, or wherever across the country. And businesses will see this in their first quarter of the year, just when, you know, it's a tougher time of year for a lot of businesses. You know, that's added to a lot of measures that we're taking in relation to maintaining our attractiveness for multinational companies, as well as a lot of changes to make this not just a great place to do business, to attract business, but also a great place for workers, strengthening their rights and providing the funding for it.
Do you think, though, that this will be enough? We hear from many businesses, you know, in the hospitality sector and otherwise, that are feeling the pressure from the operational costs, but also in terms of finding staff because of issues like housing and childcare, which we've just been speaking to Krona about. There's enough in there to you just fear that we're going to start seeing more and more businesses close as we head through the winter and into next year.
Yeah, but then when we look at the statistics, Greg, last year more businesses opened, considerably more businesses opened and set up across in every single county in the country than did close. We created more jobs, we had more people at work than at any stage in the history of state at effective full employment. That makes finding staff very difficult, but that's why I gave out 40,000 work permits last year, and I'll give out 38,000 work permits this year to help business in all sectors bring over staff to work in every part of the business. You touched on housing and childcare, and I just wanted a quick line on that. Housing, obviously, is the biggest issue in the country. It affects every part of the country. We're going to see more houses built this year than last year, and we're providing the budgetary needs to not just increase the supply, which is so important, but to keep landlords in the market, to give renters a bit of a break. And then finally, on childcare, this is something that's really close to my heart, not just because I'm married to a Montessori teacher and I have two very small children, but from an economic point of view, we have to provide that flexibility to allow people to get out of work. We will see not only the cost of childcare come down at the latter end of next year, but we're going to see an increase of the core funding provided to given to providers.
When is that, though? Because it was needed now. You know, the people didn't take to the streets looking for these measures in September 2024. They're at the pin of their collar now.
Well, I think there's two different things there. The people who took to the streets, and, you know, I engage with them deeply, they were talking about core funding as well as everything else. The core funding will go up next year. As I said, you know, all these measures, as Cora said, start from January, and in terms of the reduction of fees, won't be till September. We're also in negotiations currently in terms of bringing up the minimum rate of pay to attract more people in the sector. It's currently €13 an hour, but really needs to be a lot more for what is a very tough job, often done by people who are degree qualified. But we also want to make sure that when we're looking at childcare, we're looking at it in a medium to long-term manner, that it's not just a quick fix. Mm-hmm. We need more and more flexible facilities that cater not just for early years education, but also for after-school provision. And we need them spread across the country and not just concentrated. Because the biggest issue in my constituency, Greg, it isn't the cost of childcare, it is the availability.
All right, Neil Richmond, thank you very much for your time this morning. Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise. Much of the coverage, Krona, is about, you know, the average wage and 40,000, 50,000. That's nonsense up here. The average wage around about here is probably closer to 30. Many people on 27, 28, 29,000. And they might feel there's not enough in it for them. You know, they are seeing the lowest benefits from that and probably feel forgotten and left behind in that certainly the national media coverage of some of these measures.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, so somebody on 30,000 is probably going to only see an increase of about €300 for the whole year. And that's when you take the tax and the USC cuts into account. And then, yeah, look, and, you know, and someone on on minimum wage, you know, may actually find that they're, because the minimum wage has gone up, they're actually going to pay a little bit more tax. So, look, it's so difficult in any budget to to look after everyone. And I know that the Taoiseach has made a commitment to try and bring the minimum wage up to a living wage, but I think we still have a long way to go given the cost of living.
That's easy for the government because that's a cost that's borne by business, not really the state.
Yeah, so that's just going to say. So, you know, so the businesses that, you know, they talk about increasing PRSI as well. So it's the business that's going to have to take on this extra cost. It's quite significant. It's a 140 jump in the minimum wage. You know, you've got your employer's PRSI of almost 11% on top of that. And, you know, you've got other things coming down the track like pension auto-enrollment where they're going to be make it mandatory for people to enroll in pensions. You've got statutory sick pay that's already having to be paid out. We've got new reporting requirements all the time from revenue. So, you know, it's the small business that's been hammered, I guess, all the time in terms of that extra admin and this extra cost. And I know this $250 million fund has been announced to try and help businesses with the cost. And I suppose that's encouraging because, you know, most businesses in Ireland are small businesses. It's not, you know, we hear all the time about the multinationals and the tax take that they're bringing in. It is quite significant. But the backbone of the economy is the small and medium enterprise.
Is there any, sorry to rush you on, Krona. Is there any, do we know when the children's allowance will be paid to 18-year-olds in full-time education, because that was something that was mentioned yesterday. Is that another January 1 initiative?
Yeah, that date, I didn't see the exact date for that, so I would imagine it is a 1 January initiative. So that's going to increase, there's going to be an extra 2 years of child benefit payment as long as the child remains in school. I would imagine that's coming in the 1st of January.
Right. OK. Listen, there's so much in there, and a lot of the detail actually hasn't been announced yet. So we really appreciate, Crona, you helping us over the last hour. Have a lovely and also, too, I suppose you would welcome and encourage people. One of the things mentioned yesterday is going to be a big campaign to make sure people are getting their, you know, the tax breaks that they're entitled to and rebates that they're entitled to. There's 180 million sitting out there that could be, we're talking about in people's pockets, but that's something people really need to look at, I think.
Yeah, listen, you need to log on to revenue.ie, get onto your My Account. If there's medical expenses, there's rental tax credits, anything, get in there and claim it. The money is there. Revenue are going to do a campaign to encourage you to do so. I think sometimes there can be a fear of interacting with Revenue in case you find out you actually owe them tax. I'd say just go in there, have a look, and you know, there's money there to be taken. You might as well take it.
All right, thanks so much indeed. Crona Clohessy, who is from Dunloe, but most importantly, tax lead with Chartered Accountants Ireland.